the process of devotional service is a process by which our desire becomes purified. Srila Prabhupada talks about the situation of becoming desireless. Actually, that means materially desireless, because desirelessness is not actually attainable for a living being. It is not actually a desirable state for a living being. Actually, it is a desire is inseparable from our existence. There is never a time when we are not desiring something. There is never a time when we are not pursuing a desire. Desire, consciousness is actually, desire and consciousness are synonymous. To be conscious actually means to desire something. These things cannot be separated. They cannot be analyzed, one thing into the other. A conscious being can never be desireless. We can become Krishna conscious, and in the process of becoming Krishna conscious, we lose our material desire. However, this material desire, Srila Prabhupada explains in Bhagavad Gita, is long cherished. Long cherished. Not long cherished in the sense of a few weeks or a few months or a few years or even a few lifetimes. It is a long cherished desire that has been within the heart of every conditioned soul since time immemorial. And it is this long cherished desire to dominate the material energy which causes us to become further and further and further entangled in the complexities of Maya. Long cherished. Cherished means very near to the heart, very dear. Very dear. So we have to come to terms with understanding this about ourselves as we pursue the process of devotional service. The process of devotional service is so powerful that it can burn to ashes any amount of sinful reactions. And the desires that we become motivated by through our contact with the material energy under the influence of the mode of passion are simply in themselves sinful reactions. The very desire that we have at any given time to enjoy material things is itself a reaction to previous sinful activity. And the entanglement goes on and on and on and on. Devi yesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. The entanglement in the material energy is labyrinthine, and there is actually no way out of it. No material way out of it. Because then Krishna goes on to say, Devi yeshu gunamai mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante mayamitam tarantite. Easily one crosses beyond the influence of the material energy, the modes of material nature, by entering into the process of surrendering to Krishna. Now the word used here is worshipping, meditating and worshipping upon the super soul. Worshipping is a very important word, because it literally means to assign a value to something. The word worship as we have it today comes down through Old English, where it was actually worth a skippy. The word skippe became ship in due course of time. A ship is something to which you assign something to. You assign a cargo or a crew or a passenger list to a ship. It's something which contains something. So then we have friendship, servitorship, all kinds of ship words. The word ship comes at the end of the word. So here we have worship. So it literally means to assign a value to something. So we have to learn the value of Krishna. This is very important because we live in an age pervaded by nirvisesha sunyavadi, which gives no value to Krishna. No, none whatsoever. The whole Mayavad philosophy is based upon the destruction of the value of Krishna. The annihilation of any sense in anyone's mind that Krishna has any value whatsoever. Actually, Mayavad philosophy boils down to the conclusion that the only thing that has any value is me. The epitome of self-centeredness, actually. So first of all, we learn that there must be some desire to know something. Literally, it means there's got to be something more than this, meaning this material world. There's got to be something more than this. We've all actually become frustrated with dealing with the material energy. To some extent or another, materially exhausted. And then we ask the question, there's got to be something more than this. Is this all there is? Is this all there is? Just you're born, you struggle to live, you struggle to survive, you undergo so many miseries, and then you die. You didn't exist before you were born, and you will not exist after you die. You're simply a combination, inconceivable combination of material elements that's come into this conscious state for a temporary period and then finished. There's got to be something more than that, an intelligent person will ask. Is that all there is? No. You say to yourself, no, it can't be just this. There has to be something more. So then one becomes eligible, actually, to hear from bona fide authorities about the nature of the absolute truth, about the nature of reality. And then one automatically, if one hears from proper authorities, one hears about Krishna. One hears about oneself as being part and parcel of Krishna. One hears about one's eternal relationship with Krishna. And one hears about the process by which one can revive and re-enter, re-establish and re-enter. Revive, re-establish, and re-enter one's relationship with Krishna. But there must be some desire. There must be some consciousness in the first place. And then, as is explained here, the real problem of life is the repetition of birth and death, which is like a wheel rolling repeatedly up and down. This wheel, however, completely stops when one is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It stops. One becomes aware, first of all, of one's eternality. Prabhupada uses that verse here, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. One comes to the platform very quickly if one is in touch with a bona fide spiritual master, and hearing with a submissive attitude, then one's realization of oneself to be a living entity separate from the body comes very quickly. It doesn't take long to be self-realized in this regard. It may take more time to be self-realized in the complete conception of self-realization. That means being completely immersed in your loving relationship with Krishna, your individual loving relationship with Krishna. But self-realization per se, to understand oneself to be not this material body, it doesn't take very long. When one comes in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the transparent via media of the bona fide spiritual master. Then, prasanatma, one experiences happiness. This is a very important point to understand. If you actually want to become a preacher of Krishna consciousness, I'll just read one little purport from the... I might need those glasses again. A purport from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 32, in which Krishna says, But Krishna says, he is a perfect yogi who, by comparison to his own self, sees the true equality of all beings in both their happiness and their distress. This is very important because this verse that we have from Bhagavad Gita later on goes on to say, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, na sochiti na kankshiti, sama savishu bhuteshu, sees all living entities as equal, has no hankering and no lamentation. And Srila Prabhupada has the following to say, one who is Krishna conscious is a perfect yogi. He is aware of everyone's happiness and distress by dint of his own personal experience. This is very important. The cause of the distress of a living entity is forgetfulness of his relationship with God. And the cause of happiness is knowing Krishna to be the supreme enjoyer of all the activities of the human being, the proprietor of all lands and planets, and the sincerest friend of all living entities. That is the translation to the last verse of the fifth chapter. Bhaktaram yagya tapasam, sava loka maheshram, sava suridam sava bhutanam, gyatvamam shantim richyati. Now, very interesting here. Prabhupada says, first of all, the cause of the distress of a living entity is forgetfulness of his relationship with God. And the cause of happiness is knowing Krishna. There is so much generic information about God. You can say this. You can say God is the supreme enjoyer of all the activities of the human being. God is the proprietor of all lands and planets. And God is the sincerest friend of all living entities. Anybody knows that. Anybody who knows anything about God knows that. There's so many other things you can say generically about God. God is eternal. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. Yes. God is, and then it goes on. So many things people know about God. But how many people know that God is Krishna? Or that Krishna is God? Somebody once asked me, do you believe that Krishna is God? Actually, that's not the right question. The question is, do you accept that Krishna exists? Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do you accept his existence or not? That's the point. Well, you can't accept his existence when you've forgotten him. Very interesting word, forgetful. To be forgetful of something, to forget something, is a predicate of knowledge. Yes? You cannot forget or remember something you don't know. You cannot forget or remember something that you don't know. So we all know Krishna. But that knowledge is now covered by forgetfulness in this material world. And therefore, as a result of that forgetfulness, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. As a result of that forgetfulness, we are now entangled in the repetition of birth and death in the material world. But that forgetfulness has been brought about as a result of us desiring to have it. There is no other reason. It is not that there is some random process by which some living entities are forced to accept forgetfulness and others aren't. We are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are all part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is the supreme independent entity. We are all infinitesimal independent entities. And by misuse of our independence, we come under the influence of Maya. We come into the association of the material energy with a view to be the dominators of and the enjoyers of the material energy. And in order for that situation to come about, we must accept forgetfulness of who we actually are. And forgetfulness of who we actually are entails forgetfulness of our relationship with Krishna and forgetfulness of Krishna, because we are eternally in relationship with Krishna. We are in relationship with Krishna now under the influence of his material energy. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Yes? That works in all directions. Everyone follows my path in all respects. So if we are surrendering to the influence of the three modes of material nature, we are indirectly surrendering to Krishna. We are unfavorably surrendering to Krishna. But whatever position we are in, we are actually surrendered to Krishna. But this surrender to Krishna entails forgetfulness of Krishna and forgetfulness of ourselves and forgetfulness of our relationship with Krishna. Revival of our relationship with God must bring us to Krishna consciousness, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're not here for some mundane religious reason. We're not doing Hinduism here. We are not interested in performing mundane religious activities for any mundane purpose. The Bhagavatam begins, Dharma Projita Kaitavotra. Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam. We begin where all materialistic considerations end. We begin where all material considerations begin. So we begin where all materialistic considerations end, rather. Where they end. Now, if we do not understand the value of what we have received, if we don't place any value on it, it really means we actually have not understood what we've received. Because Prabhupada goes on to explain, the perfect yogi knows that the living entity who is conditioned by the modes of material nature is subjected to the threefold material miseries due to his forgetfulness of his relationship with Krishna. And because one in Krishna consciousness is happy, he tries to distribute the knowledge of Krishna everywhere. We have to recognize that something valuable has happened to us, and that the value of that is Krishna. The value behind all of this is Krishna. Krishna has brought about the change in our lives. That's why Srila Prabhupada always used to say, the spiritual master must act as the transparent via media to Krishna. He used to say, Krishna is saying, man mana bhava mat bhakto mam yaji mam naraskuru. You become namaskuru, you become my devotee. The guru says you become devotee of Krishna. This Krishna consciousness movement exists because Krishna wants it to. Just when Vaisheshika was here, he made that point in his class that the flow, that the relationship between the spiritual world and the material world is that there is always a flow of love coming from the spiritual world towards the material world. When Gop Kumar reaches Maheshdam, and he's on the margin between the material and the spiritual worlds, he can see the material worlds and he can see the spiritual world. He can see the Vaikuntha world, and he sees that from the Vaikuntha world there are millions and millions and millions. He can't even get a sense of how many Vishnu Dutas entering the material world to render some service to somehow or another offer some assistance to the conditioned souls in the material world. What to speak of when the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself enters the material world? Krishna is all auspicious. So when Krishna enters the material world, everyone is benefited. Knowingly or unknowingly, everyone is benefited. But we see the innermost purpose of Krishna's appearance in the material world. Paritranaya sadunam. He comes to give encouragement to the devotees. Why does he come to give encouragement to the devotees in the material world? Because it is actually through the devotees only that we know anything about Krishna. Just see, one devotee. Prabhupada is giving one lecture one time, and he's talking about the verse of how it's actually the responsibility of all Indians to become Krishna conscious and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. He said, so one Indian is doing something. And he laughed, meaning himself. Yes? But one little old man. Little. People think of Prabhupada. Prabhupada was a little man. He wasn't even as tall as me. You can see it sometimes. Prabhupada's standing there with all these big American disciples standing around, huge men. And Prabhupada's a little man. One little old man with failing health, with no assets, no resources, one contact of the son of a person he barely knew in America, 70 years of age, and he set off to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. One time, some years ago, when we were fighting to save Bhaktivedanta Manor from closure, the senior Queen's counselor that was working on our behalf, a gentleman by the name of Graham Ayres, he became Sir Graham in due course of our dealing with him, was an old man at that time. He was approaching 70 himself. He was actually semi-retired. And in order to understand things better about, you know, why were we fighting for this place so much and what did we stand for, he read Prabhupada's books. Now, you know, lawyers, they're very expert at reading, so he could read them quickly. And one time when devotees went to meet with him to have a conference about the case, his first reaction when they came into the room was, you people have no appreciation of your guru. And devotees were like, what? Who are you? There's that reaction. But he put his finger up. He said, because you are all young men. He said, I'm an old man. He said, I know what it's like to be old. He said, you don't know the difficulties that come with old age. He said, but your guru in his old age went to spread this mission. Why? Because as Prabhupada is explaining here, because he knew that his wholesome condition, that the happiness that he was experiencing in relationship with Krishna was simply because of that, because he was Krishna conscious. And that the source of all miseries in the material existence are because of forgetfulness of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada's concern always was that we value Krishna and that we value what we've been given, that we appreciate what we've been given. And actually, we appreciate what we have been given and we value what we have been given more and more and more if we become engaged in the process of spreading Krishna consciousness. Endeavoring to spread Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada said, to every town and village. Because then we get direct perception of the truth of what Srila Prabhupada is saying, of what Krishna is saying. We see by direct perception that my happiness is because I'm Krishna consciousness, because I'm in Krishna consciousness, because I'm practicing Krishna consciousness. And the unhappiness that I see everybody else in, which I used to be in, is because of this one thing and this one thing only. Because they have forgotten Krishna. And because by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, I am now remembering Krishna. So there must be some value placed on these things. Actually, the ultimate value must be placed upon these things. However, we forget these things. That is why there must be repeated hearing, because our tendency is to forget. Our habit is to forget. You can't break habits quickly. And once conditioning is set up, it can be very difficult to undo. So the process that we have been given of hearing and chanting, Srinvatam Swa Kata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridyanta Stoya Badrani Vidunoti Suritsatam, must be engaged in with very strong intention and very painstaking attention. Because we're in the middle of the material, we're in Maya. We're in Maya. And Maya's ability to distract, the Prabhupada said, two potencies. Maya can cover you and throw you. Cover you and throw you. Her ability to cover you over and then throw you into some other situation should never be underestimated. We can fall into forgetfulness just like that. We can become distracted at any moment We've been distracted by our material desires since time immemorial. So by placing value on what we've been given, we gain the ability to fix our attention on one particular desire and ignore others. This is explained by Krishna in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that just as rivers are constantly flowing into the ocean, which is never disturbed, the mind of a devotee, which is being constantly bombarded by material desires, is not disturbed because he doesn't pay any attention to them. He doesn't pursue them because he has changed his intention, and therefore he is able to direct his attention in different directions. The devotee no longer lives in the material world to satisfy his senses. He lives in the material world with the endeavor of satisfying Krishna's senses. The intention of one's existence changes. But it has to be a conscious decision. We're all here by conscious decision. You can't force the issue on anybody. You have to make the decision. And that decision has to be made over and over and over again. But the ability to make decisions is just like, it's just like the ability to lift weights. Your ability to lift a certain kind of weight comes because you practice lifting it and building up your strength to lift it and maintaining your strength. So you make the decision over and over and over and over again, and the mind becomes strong. Not just because you make the decision, but every time you make the decision, you get a reward because Krishna is in the heart. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. How does he reward us? He makes us more and more and more happy. Just Prabhupada says, just as there is no end to the misery that you can experience from the kicking of Maya, there is no end to the bliss that you can experience from engaging in Krishna's service. Well, where does that bliss come from? That bliss comes from everywhere. It comes from the same place that everything else comes from. It comes from Krishna. Just as Prabhupada begins by explaining here, the Brahma Sukh, the spiritual happiness that comes from merging into the Brahman effulgence, is actually a contact with Krishna. So we need to understand that we have been brought to the highest platform of knowledge and understanding of the absolute truth. And that we've been, the door to eternal happiness has been opened for us. Now our business is now to be ushers, bringing other people through the door, bring others through the door. Then Maya's ability to distract us, or Maya's intention to distract us, will become less and less and less and less and less. Because she, after all, is only a servant of the Lord. She's fulfilling the instructions of the Lord. Shrishti sthiti pralaya sadhana shaktireka cha jaiva jasya bhuvanani vibharti doge ichchanu rupam api yasya chaste tesa govindam ari purusham tamaham bhajami. She is ichcha rupam. She is satisfying, fulfilling the desire of the Lord. So when Maya sees you have no interest in her, she's actually very happy. She's very happy. What a thankless task Maya has. What a thankless task she has, just to be kicking people in the face all the time. When she knows, who she's actually dealing with, but she has to kick you in the face because you've forgotten who you are and you're acting like a donkey. In other words, by the transcendental bliss realized from constant engagement in devotional service, one is completely liberated from material existence. I'm sorry we've gone on a little long here. I didn't realize the time. Does anyone have any questions?